Bring Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game along for the ride. We go wherever you go.
Everywhere.
With the 103.7 The Game mobile app. Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in. It's Wednesday night. That means we're here. Although it's Four Guys Stories and Lies tonight, and I know you've heard that before. But Bobby Ardwan, who works for the Opelousas Daily World / Gannett, is having to cover a St. Landry Parish dog pound meeting that they're holding tonight. There is a pooper scooper issue before the dog pound on St. Landry Parish within the city limits of Opelousas, and that's what Bobby is covering this evening.
So it's going to be a bloodletting in St. Landry Parish.
Bloodletting is not quite the word I would use.
Oh, goodness. I see this goes on.
Glenn Quibido, Tom Brown, Bruce Brown, and our wizard behind the glass, of course. Or behind the curtain, I guess that would be Clint Domingue, our producer. And we welcome you into this evening's program. The phone number, and let me get it out of the way so only Glenn will be giving it for the rest of the hour. 706-0111. Glenn was mumbling while I gave it, so I'll give it again.
What was that number?
706-0111. And if you're out of the area code, it's 337-706-0111.
Well, we're being sarcastic right off the bat. It's our trademark. Well, it's 2 minutes. We're in here 2 minutes, and, you know, I'm already getting slammed. So.
Good night, everybody.
That's pretty much how the show goes. You know, not if you're waiting to find out who the sixth man is for some basketball team, you're listening to the wrong show. The backup guard or who's going to be picked in the 15th pick tomorrow night in the NBA draft.
I thought you wanted to talk about the NBA draft tonight.
Just a little bit about maybe about Danny Broussard being in that ESPN piece on Zion tomorrow night.
What does that have to do with the NBA draft?
Because they're going to play that when they announce the Pelicans pick. The why Zion or
Pelicans pick is going to be Zion.
Yeah, yes. So they're going to play this about why he should love Louisiana. You didn't see it. It's all over.
I know.
On
I
Facebook.
Missed that.
No, it's pretty good. Actually, Danny is the lead to the piece and stuff.
Yeah, he took ESPN crawfishing, huh?
Yeah, I asked him to call in tonight. Tell us how you got that gig with ESPN, man. What you got, Clint?
Well, he was on with him, R, as we like to affectionately.
Yeah, because R heard me talking about it yesterday.
Well, you mean three?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He stole him from us.
Well, he's the one that got it first, and he was saying, because they wound up originally just looking for a crawfisher to kind of just go crawfishing with for the footage.
A crawfisher?
Yeah.
You from New Orleans?
Yeah, crawfisherman.
Is that like a fisher compared to a fisherman, like us Cajuns would say?
Crawfisherman.
Did you really say that, crawfisher?
Yes.
I think I did just to get Glenn's goat here.
I thought only people at the Picayune use that kind of language.
We're 5 minutes in and we're already having fun.
Only people under the age of 30 use that language. It's called a millennial.
Oh, fisher. Yeah. When they first used that, I went, what the hell is that? Fisher. What is
a
fisher?
Yeah, what's a crawfisher?
Well, you can't say it because it could be a woman.
All right. So anyways. So the guy that was with the crew with the 4-letter network, he actually wound up being like, all right, I'd love to do it, but I don't know a darn thing about basketball. But do know Danny Broussard, he'd definitely be able to help you out a lot more. And that's how it all came about. I'm surprised they were able to manage to get like about a 20-second clip of Danny Broussard, because you know him. He can talk for a long, long time about basketball, especially in Louisiana.
Well, he's going to talk about it tonight because he's supposed to call in tonight and give us a little.
Oh, Danny is?
Yeah, I didn't know the R was stealing it from us, but yeah, we got.
Well, I got his number, so.
We got. What? No, Danny's going to call.
Oh, okay.
Danny's going to call.
Clint, the world has Danny's number.
Okay? you've got a good point there.
Best self-promoter of any of the coaches around here, man.
Actually, Danny is going to join us because he is St. Thomas More.
Yes.
He's going to join us because we're going to have Jamie Howard in the 7 o'clock hour on the show via phone to talk about all things Jamie. We'll talk about Jamie for about 12 seconds, and then we'll move to where's Walker going to college.
No, but we got to talk about a bunch of questions I want to ask Jamie for sure. I mean, you know, he was an incredible athlete when he was here, and you know, he's got a lot to share. And yeah, Walker's a big story right now. In fact, I think Eric Narcisse ran a piece on him yesterday. I don't get the advertiser anymore since Bruce left, but I think
you don't get it since they went to a paywall.
This is true. Yeah, and you know, they kind of lifted the, well, they didn't lift it. You can get 5 stories, you know,
with the beginning of each month. That's correct.
Yeah, but there's ways to get around.
Okay.
He is correct.
Clear your browser history.
Incognito windows are your friend.
For those of you who are wondering, Walker is Jamie's son. Walker is a sophomore at St. Thomas More High School. Is he a junior to be?
No,
he's a sophomore to be.
Sophomore, man.
There has been more made about this kid, considering the fact he's not even the starter on his high school football team.
Right.
And yet the world is being made of this kid, youngster.
Well, do you know why?
Yeah, he's got a big arm.
He's got a big arm, and
his father's Jamie Howard.
Yeah, but what's happened is all the recruiters that are going to see Holstein, who threw for what, 400-something yards in the state championship game? Yeah. All of them that are going to see him see this sophomore out there throwing the ball. And then plus he's been to camps at A&M and Alabama and Mississippi State and a couple places. And Jamie will tell us about it. But, yeah, no, he has a big arm, a big arm. But he's not the only one in Lafayette that's young. We got this kid at Como, Anthony Davis.
Just signed with the Pelicans.
Malik.
No, he got traded to L.A.
I've looked at it wrong. Malik Neighbors, who is a 15-year-old. He has offers already. Has a 38-inch vertical.
That's a wide receiver, huh?
Yeah, that's a wide receiver. He's 15 years old. He's already got offers. Now, we got some great young athletes in the area, and you know, but they get looked at early because college coaches go to the spring scrimmages. They invite them to their camps. They see what they can do. Man, you see a 15-year-old with a 38-inch vertical that leads his 7-on-7 team to a national championship, which now that's a big thing. It's like select baseball. Now they got select 7-on-7, I guess. And this kid helps lead them to a national championship. Guess what? Eyes are going to be on him. And that's what's happening.
Well, and you know, you can turn on any day now and go online to one of your social networks or social outlets and see kids that are freshmen and sophomores in high school that are getting offers and committing to football teams that early, you know, and it's almost like that football is getting to be as bad as the select baseball now.
All together now, all right?
Right.
What is a commitment worth?
Well, it's true, but it's just the idea that they're recruiting.
Zero, nothing.
They're recruiting these kids at those early ages.
Right. They're recruiting the kids not because of the kids. They're recruiting them because of the colleges.
They recruit them because the other colleges are recruiting.
Exactly. Exactly.
So everybody's getting in line.
Of kids who commit, like as a sophomore or something, I wonder what percentage of those kids wind up at that university.
That's an excellent question, Bruce.
It's very small. So I asked somebody about that. It was under 50%.
It's got to be.
It's under 50%. But like this kid. This neighbor's kid from Como.
Yeah.
He's got an offer from every college in Louisiana except LSU. And I read the story, and basically what he said was LSU, he went to their camp, and they told him, no, we're not going to offer you yet. We like you, but you need to go work on this and this and this. So, you know, they may come back in, but, you know, those guys.
And every other college said, you need to work on signing your name.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we'd love to. But look, if they could, they would sign them this young. They would get them locked up this young if they could. Thank God they can't. But, you know, I'm kind of like you. They shouldn't let them commit that young.
Commitment is such a misleading word.
The thought that I was getting to before I was two-guyed was that
two-guyed?
I bet you. Yeah, you two guys across the room over there. I bet you Jamie didn't go through that as good of a player as he was.
1992?
Yeah,
no,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, he didn't.
You know, he wasn't recruited probably until he was end of junior year, beginning senior year.
No, he was recruited by the Atlanta Braves.
Well,
that's who he was recruited by.
I know that, you know. but it's just getting to be out of hand, you know, because it doesn't mean anything. And every day you can turn on your computer and see, blessed to say I got offer from this school.
Yeah, blessed
to say I got an offer. Some guys will say, blessed to know that I got my eighth division, pro power five commitment from this
There's
school.
There's not a
you know?
Lot of humble like, kids out there.
No.
Humble is not in the vocabulary of the young.
That could turn your head, though.
Are you humble?
If you're that young and you got those kind of skills and that many people are interested in you, that could turn your head. Nobody was ever interested in me that much, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, things can change so quickly in the next 2 or 3 years for any of those kids.
Coach gets fired, system changes.
Hey, you go down with an ACL injury or something like that.
Gain 20 pounds.
Yeah, game changer, you know. Because the colleges aren't bound to honor that commitment either. The kids aren't and the colleges aren't. Because the college can always come back and say, man, we got somebody.
It's kind of like a scholarship, isn't it?
Yep.
Nobody's bound to honor anything.
Nope. You get a scholarship, you basically get it for a year. It's not 4 years, like they say. It's basically
a year. Yeah, but most colleges honor it because they know if they start doing that, other than maybe your softball people.
They will
maybe
honor
other
it.
Than your softball
They will
people.
Honor it, or they will help them find another place for it for themselves.
Yeah, that could be. But most of them will honor it simply because they know if they start doing that, it's going to be hard to tell that kid. That
My
knows
softball people, huh?
Well, okay. They're the ones that hopping over wagons left and right,
Here
man.
Here we go.
Am I wrong?
I'm going to agree with everyone tonight. No, you're not wrong.
There you go. For once in his life, he agreed with me.
Ask me if I'm right, Tom.
You're right.
No, I'm not right,
Are
Tom.
Are you right?
No, I'm not right.
He doesn't expect to be right for the next hour and a half.
No, not at all. We have time to get into the softball argument later. Did you happen to notice about the brawl in Colorado?
Yeah, we were talking about,
we were talking about that
here.
Coming over here. That was unbelievable.
A 13-year-old umpire. Well, first of all, if you're a 13-year-old umpire, your
explain
dad.
Explain it to everybody who might not know what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, okay, I vaguely know, but I just saw them fighting on, and they said there was a 13-year-old that was.
It's a 7-year-old baseball game.
This is correct.
With a 13-year-old umpire.
This is also correct.
And the parents got into arguments in the stands over the game and a call that was made by the 13-year-old and ended up on the field. There was 25 of them out there.
Did the 13-year-old?
And there was women out there going after the men that were hitting the guys.
The women threw some of the better haymakers that you saw.
They didn't go after the kid umpire.
Oh,
they went after each other. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't go after the umpire?
No. They went after each other. They were arguing over whether the call was right or wrong and the opposing teams, and they went after each other. No, they didn't go after the kid. They went after each other.
Was it the guy that was on the ground, like the Mohawk? Was he the one that got sucker punched?
He was the guy that got sucker punched. And the guy, again, I think it looked like, I watched it 4 or 5 times, looked like the guy with his back, the tall guy with, I think, a white shirt on. I think he was the guy that sucker punched him.
It may have been a white shirt, or it may have been
light-colored
a teal
shirt.
Yeah. Or teal
that
shorts.
That happened in Colorado?
Whatever. Yeah.
Colorado? Because, I mean, now Louisiana has the law where you're going to jail if you...
No, they don't have it yet.
They don't?
The Senate's got to okay it.
Oh, I would imagine now they will.
But once they
like
okay
that.
It, it's going to be only attacks on officials, not on each other.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That wasn't on the official, huh?
Apparently a couple of injuries, and they're saying one perhaps serious injury.
Really?
And they're looking for the guy in the...
They're looking for the guy that sucker punched the guy in the back of the head.
Because
they say that could cause serious brain damage.
It was an interesting fight.
They don't care about the rest of the fight. They just want the guy that sucker punched the other guy.
Well, a 13-year-old has to be traumatized for life. I mean, if I'm him, I don't go around a baseball park. It's like, hey, we need an umpire. Why don't you find somebody else, man?
No, the 13-year-old said, if you look it on replay, my call was right.
He said that?
No.
Oh. I didn't think so.
It's Five Guys Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening. 706-0111. That's your phone number at the studios, and we'll continue after this.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Don't look at me. I have
no this is Bruce's request, and I firmly second it.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Theme song from the movie
yep.
That starred Charles Bronson.
Jason Robards.
Jason Robards.
Bobby Cornell.
Yes. Called Once Upon a Time in the West. And the music is by Ennio Morricone. The guy is an Academy Award winner. And
Morricone.
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 I know what you never mind. I'm staying out of this. All right. Again, not your conventional sports talk show.
Same,
you know what?
Same guy that put together the musics for all of Clint Eastwood's Man with No Name films.
Clint, I got something for you. You hear that?
Is it Wayne Toops?
No, smart egg. It's not Wayne Toops.
I played it last week for you. You didn't
what?
Even notice.
You know what? I was
he didn't hear a note of it.
No, he didn't. He didn't notice.
I listened to a replay. I heard it. But you know what? I was thinking, you know how we always saying we're not your traditional talk show host. And I was trying to think the way we argue and everything. So I'm driving. Yes, I'm thinking, you know, that reminds me of something. I can't remember what it is. So I did remember what it was. And well, he's on the phone now, so I don't know if I should wait for after the call before I tell this story.
Well, you can tell the
story. You can still
story.
Tell the
you got
story.
A phone
what
call?
You got? Who you got?
Don't tell the story.
I'll tell it after this.
Yeah,
who we
yeah.
got?
Ralph? It's called a tease. No, we got Ken on the line.
Ken.
Hey, Ken.
How y'all doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, not
absolutely.
A
yeah, I got one simple question.
We don't have an answer.
Where are the parents? Where are the LHSA? Where are the coaches who can step in inside and say, listen, you're not recruiting my child at a freshman, sophomore year in high school. Sorry.
They
not going to happen.
They can't do that.
What's going on?
The parents can't do that? Of course they can do that.
The parents can
the
do
parents
that.
The parents can do it?
Yeah they can yeah. say, hey, you don't need to be talking to my kid right now. Look, you know where we live? You know my phone number? Come back next year.
Well, what yeah. the parent would have to do is not bring him to a camp. But if the parents are going to bring them to camps, they're going to get recruited. And yeah, if they're that good, guess what? The parents are going to take them to camps.
It's all about self-promotion nowadays. Yeah. You have to go to the camps.
There aren't any parents out there that aren't going to bring them to a camp if they're that good. I'm going to tell you that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but what about at high school, at their high school? And this is happening at people's high schools out as well. Your parents can't go to high school and tell that coach, look, I don't want my kid talking to nobody, period.
They could.
I guess they could do that. Yeah,
they
I don't
could
know.
Do that.
You know what? There's a lot of things that sound good in theory, but in practice they just don't work.
Yeah, Ken, between you and us, how many parents do you know of, other than perhaps yourself, how many parents do you know of that are going to turn down a university attempting to recruit their child?
Well, there are several factors in there. First of all, does he have the grades, or she has the grades, first of all? That's the first thing.
Yeah,
I don't think
discipline.
The big schools aren't going to waste their time on somebody that doesn't have grades because there's too many kids that are just as good or better that have grades. So that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
And behavior, and there's a whole lot of factors in there. I could tell you a number of scores of high school stars, four stars, whatever, got yourself in trouble, whatever, and didn't get a scholarship. Period, from nowhere.
Sure.
So I mean, it happens. I mean, so to me. The parents need to be severely and heavily involved in these decisions. These children cannot make no good decision at no 13 years old.
Absolutely. No one will disagree with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with
you.
We were talking about that.
Thank you for the call,
Ken. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call.
We were talking about that off the air, I think, before the show started, about how the football has gotten so dramatically like baseball and softball and these other things where you go and watch kids, you know, as freshmen and getting them to commit as freshmen.
Saw a 9-year-old the other day that really looked good. Yeah, that kind of thing.
No, that's all the time. That's all the time. In baseball, that's all the time. You know, I used to always tell a story about when Chris started in T-ball, there was roughly 125 of them there. And when they announced the all-star team, they only took like 12 to 14. Well, that left like 111 parents really mad because they all thought their kids were all-stars, and we're going to wind up at LSU. So remember that. It's 125 in T-ball. By the time he got to be a senior, okay, now we moved towns, but the figures were about the same in Crowley and Abbeville. When we got to Crowley and Chris graduated, out of that, and there were a lot of friendships were broken because, you know, the coach didn't put up Little Johnny for all-star, and Little Johnny didn't make all-star and stuff like that, because Little Johnny's bound to be a star by the time he's in high school. By the time they got to high school, there were 5 out of 125 left playing American Legion, and only 2 of them went on to play college. One of them happened to be my son. And that was only the junior college ball. So only two out of 125 actually went on to play, and not at a major university. So that just tells you. But the parents, there were more friendships broken up over not making all-star teams, because every parent thinks their kid's going to get a scholarship.
So how do you,
and like you said, you're going to tell Nick Saban he's coming to Tacoma High School and he wants to talk to this kid? As a parent, you're going to say, no, son, you can't talk to that man until you're a senior.
That probably didn't happen a whole lot.
It's not happening. I mean,
obviously, the kid was shattered by not making the all-star team at age eight, and that ruined his baseball career for the rest. That's why he ended up not going to college.
Some of them might tell you that. I still have some parents. I coached for a lot of years. I still got some parents probably hold a grudge against me for their kid not making an all-star team, or me making them take a pitch.
I played American Legion ball and got selected to the – it wasn't the first to say – got selected as a utility infielder, right? I had one hit that year. So I'm thinking to myself, what are they doing selecting me? I had one. Was a good hit off the wall in the field. Was a good hit.
That's what they remember. They were there for that game.
You
made an impression on them. They were there for that game.
No, but, I mean, every parent today, if their kids – well, look how many kids are playing selected. That's a show all to itself, how select baseball has ruined community baseball leagues.
All right, before you get off on that rant, you had a story for us.
No, I was just saying how we're not your traditional sports talk show. We're not going to talk.
Well, of course we're not.
We're not going to talk about who's in the draft and who did this. And
you spent all of that time prior to that call, and that's all you wanted to talk about?
So I was trying to figure out. I tried to figure out who we most closely resembled. And hey,
here we go.
You know who Jeff Dunham is, right?
Yeah, ventriloquist.
The ventriloquist.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is our show.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Don Allen, Walter, right? The grumpy old man.
I can understand
that's
that.
That's Don Allen. Do you know who we're talking about?
No.
You don't know who Jeff Dunham is?
No.
He leads a sheltered life.
You see, you got to look at Flyover America, where we live, Tom and I. Yeah. You got to look at, you know, we these people are popular. So Jeff Dunham has these characters. You know,
they're puppets. You know, he's a ventriloquist.
World famous, makes you know? A ton
he's a
of
puppet.
Money.
He's a puppeteer.
He's good. He's funny.
I can't believe
it's a
you
comedy
never saw
routine.
This guy.
Yeah, it's a comedy routine.
You need to go on demand and find this guy. He's hilarious.
Okay.
All right. So you Walter. All right.
I don't like that name.
You can quit talking to him because he ain't going to know anything you're talking about.
Talk to us. Well, yeah. Oh, I got Tom. He's Ahmed the terrorist, the dead terrorist.
How about that?
Yeah, Ahmed. How you like that? Because, I mean, like,
he gives me the name Ahmed. Can you believe that?
Well, because you give Don hell all the time. That's why. You know, so you, Ahmed. I'm Peanut, right? What'd you think, Clint? I'm Peanut, the purple dude that talks all the time, can't shut him up. That's me.
I think y'all
would agree with that. I'm trying to think of somebody for Bruce. Man, it's driving me nuts. Well, Bruce is kind of the brain, so he's Jeff Dunham.
There we go.
He's pulling the strings.
Yeah. And Bobby, I'm thinking Bobby. Bobby's Jose the Jalapeno.
On a stick.
On a stick.
This show has gone off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. Take a step for a break.
I saw a movie the other night where somebody said, remember those little sticks they have in Men in Black where you could just like press it.
Go away.
And the whole show disappears.
See, that's what he wants right now.
I think this won't be on the on-demand section. Thanos snapped out of existence.
What would you expect from Walter? He wants to do away with it. So
Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. We will not return after this.
Good night, everybody.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Fine how you act. I bet when you were younger, you were quite a ladies' man. I used to chase skirts all over the world, really, till I got to Scotland, and boy, was I surprised.
That was Dunham?
That was Dunham.
Okay.
Well, that was actually Walter.
That was Walter.
That was Walter. Yeah.
Dunham talking to Walter.
Yeah. But that's his character.
There's so many of them that are so good. Like,
the
YouTube's got a ton of like just great material from him.
Oh, that's great.
Walter. Hey, look, if he if
Don,
you know,
is
what?
Unimpressed.
If Don would watch the clips with Walter, he would appreciate it, and he'd go like, "Oh man, is that really me?"
Yeah. Glenn is on my case for being unfamiliar with Jeff Dunham, the guy who not know that Kitty was a hooker.
Yeah, and he does live in a sheltered life.
No, and I didn't know that apple ale was beer either till last week. So I mean.
Okay, this sounds like a great story.
What?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
No. But I did get a six-pack of apple ale for Father's Day.
He got something they got out a of kick it, out yeah. of, they got he a had kick, no idea.
They got a kick out of it because I thought it was, they said, what you thought it was, a fruit drink? I said, well, I mean, I didn't know.
You guys, I'm sure, watched some of the Super Regionals, and I know we're into the College World Series now, but I had forgotten to bring this up for the last 2 weeks. I'm watching the Oklahoma State-Texas Tech, and I think it was the third game. I think it was the one that Tech eventually won and went on to the College World Series. And I'm watching this game, and the announcer, and I don't know who whether he was ESPN or not, but he was one of these guys that was full of himself and full of the way he broadcast a game. And it's top of the ninth inning, and OSU's down by a run. And they got two guys on, and they're like, I don't know if they're one or two outs, and the pitcher, it's popped up! And the camera zooms back and is watching the outfielders get closer and closer to the wall, and 390 feet and over the fence later, the ball came down.
It was a pop-up?
It's popped up!
Well, that wind must have come up from the home plate, huh?
Did you see where the Yankees released Andy Farquhar today?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but it's also understandable. Most of you remember who Farquhar was. He pitched for the Cajuns here.
Yeah.
Pitched for a couple of major league teams, and then last year when he was throwing for the White Sox, he suffered a brain aneurysm in the dugout and collapsed. And it got very, very intense for a few days. 2 weeks later, he was back throwing out a ceremonial first pitch at Chicago Stadium. But they let him go, and the Yankees eventually signed him at the start of the year to a minor league contract. He pitched like three games or seven games, something like that. Did not perform well. And the Yankees gave him a shot, but they let him go today.
Oh, they did let him go?
They let him go today.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, well, maybe Danny will catch on someplace else.
And I think they had just like called him up to AAA as well, so that was kind of a surprise just to see that, like, not long after getting called up to there, and then like, you know, bye.
But he had a good career, though, overall, didn't he?
He did.
A solid run.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, solid, yeah. In Major League Baseball, that's all you can ask.
So he's a free agent. He's got a chance to sign somewhere else, and let's hope he does.
Yeah, let's hope he does.
Speaking of ceremonial first pitches,
softball.
No. Did anybody see Kim Mulkey throw out the first pitch at the Rangers game?
I thought you covered that last week.
Did we?
She nailed it.
Yeah, see, you get
no,
it.
No, I think that was a different one, the one that hit the cameraman.
Y'all talked about the one that hit the cameraman.
We talked about
I think that was the only one y'all talked about last week.
I don't know, maybe it was at lunch.
See, they can't even remember what they talked about.
No, I agree with Don on this. It must have been at lunch then, because I know you talked about it.
She threw out the first pitch of the Rangers game from the rubber with a windup, about 65 miles an hour, perfect strike to the catcher.
By the way, did you know
that? The crowd went crazy.
Did you know that was Kramer Robertson's mom?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him? Where is he? In single A still?
No, I think he was in either double A or triple A, because I know he had a home run off of Clayton Kershaw during his rehab start a while back.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was the day after his mom won the NCAA women's national title with Baylor.
I saw a replay of the 4-year-old. I think he was about four. 4-year-old who threw out the first pitch. And, you know, he had his baseball cap on. It was slightly crooked. Looked like CeCe Sabathia, you know. And he had on his little uniform. And they set him up like 10 feet from home plate. And he looked at his dad and he turned around. And he pointed. He wanted to throw from the mound. And they said, no, you're not. You're right. He did it again. So his dad moved him back about 6 feet. Kid still would not throw. Turned around, was pointing at the mound and all that. He finally runs back to the mound, All right, so they adjust, and he unleashes a pitch that went about 4 feet. But it was just precious. It really was.
I thought you were going to tell me he threw a strike from 60 feet. Yeah. I feel like, what were you drinking that night?
No. Okay. Oh, here. I asked Bruce this before we started. And, Clint, you can get in on it, but you're not allowed to look it up. You're not allowed. Okay. You're not allowed to make a guess. If you touch your computer, yeah, you're banished forever. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Since we're on baseball, my favorite trivia question of all time. Back when I did a trivia show at the other station way back when, and we're talking 30 years ago. And the question is this, and I looked it up just to be sure before I came in. And he is certainly the only one in modern-day baseball, and I think he's the only switch hitter other than Mickey Mantle to win an American League Most Valuable Player. Can you name him?
Vida Blue.
Vida Blue was a pitcher.
That was just the first thing that came to mind.
He looked it up already.
No, I didn't.
It was Vida Blue?
Yes.
You're kidding
me. I did.
Talked about this before we came in, you and him.
You're banned, dude.
I didn't know what the question was. The computer.
Wait, say the question again.
Vida Blue is just the first name that came to mind.
Why would it?
Why would it?
I don't know.
All right, you're banned.
Okay, bye, guys.
Wow.
Wait. Oh, good. No more commercials.
No one has ever gotten that or even coming close.
Wow. Come on. You didn't tell him before when you came in here?
But he batted?
Out some other way. Well, you know what? He was a switch hitter. I said the only switch hitter.
Oh, okay. So he never really hit. He just was a switch hitter.
Nobody said he didn't
bat.
When
he was 12, he was a switch hitter.
Clint, you know what? You know, they say I led a sheltered life. Dude, you have way too much time on your hands if you know stats like that.
I did. That was just like literally the first
thing. Why would that pop into your mind, Clint?
Clint,
we need an answer. Why would it pop into your mind?
I guess it's just the fact I was thinking more, because I figured the trivia question was going to be more towards like an older generation, so that's immediately the name that popped in my mind.
How the hell?
You didn't know Vida Blue was a
switcher. Are you saying we're old?
That was before you were born.
How the hell did you know he batted left-handed?
I didn't. That was literally just the first name that came to mind for some reason. I was going to throw it.
Some reason is not the right answer here.
I was going to throw it out largely as a joke, just to have Tom take a guess. And that was the right answer. I'm amazed at that.
Tom, Bruce, and I were sitting there going like,
none of us are buying that at all.
I'm telling you the truth, man.
Oh, no, this was a setup. you and Don talked.
Black helicopters everywhere on this one.
There's no way.
Wow.
Ooh, you got, man.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it is a great question.
That is a great question.
And unless you look it up, you don't know.
Unless you listen to the whole question, you're going to miss it. Because I'm like them. It's like, wait, he's a pitcher. What are you talking about? But unless you listen to the whole question, he doesn't have to bat.
Maybe he just wants
a switch hitter to win it. And
other than Mickey Mantle, he's the only one I found going back to like 1920.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, you got a lot of time on your hands, too, if you've gone back looking for stuff like that.
I'm trying to remember how I came up with it originally, like 30 years ago, 35 years
ago.
So
you used this back then? Yeah, like you said. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, pretty interesting.
He also won the Cy Young that year. He won the Cy Young and the MVP in the same year. A couple other pitchers have done that.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Hmm. So where are we going next? Are we going with famous people or where are we going?
Are we going to talk about the NBA draft?
Oh, the NBA draft's good.
I mean, just touch on it. I mean, it is tomorrow night.
Go ahead.
The way you people talk, it's like no one has any idea what we're going to talk about, and of course we do.
Well, that's the way the program's been going for a year.
No, that's the impression that we give.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we scripted.
This program is like a steel trap.
Like a steel trap. Okay, let me think about that.
NBA draft.
Well, we know
here,
that Zion
hands
Williamson.
Up. Does anyone care?
No, I'm not an NBA guy.
I think the fact that Zion's going to come to the Pelicans, who I won't watch, but I mean, there's a lot of people care. You're going to probably get a phone call. Who's the gentleman that calls up here every once in a while about NBA basketball? We have one listener for sure that loves NBA basketball. I'm not one.
Well,
of them.
I'm not that interested in it, but I'm interested in the fact that the Pelicans got the number one pick and the trade that they made, which is just, it's the trade that they made is just psychotic. You know, they got three number ones and three players.
I get rid of one of them.
For one guy.
For the ride, for
well,
sure.
I really think that Lonzo Ball was put in.
I never said
no names. I'm saying it. I really think that Lonzo Ball was put in by the Lakers and said, if you want the three first-rounders, you got to take Lonzo Ball and his dad with you to New Orleans.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball's got nothing to do with it.
No.
They just want his dad out of the game.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
No, probably not. No.
But that's a psychotic trade because the Pelicans basically control Los Angeles' draft picks through 2025. They have, like, right of refusal. When their first-round pick comes up, it's like, no, that one's too low. We'll wait till next year.
Did you say where one book in Vegas has made the Lakers the choice to win it all next year?
Oh, please.
No.
And some guy dropped a
Then the Raptors, then the Warriors.
Some guy dropped a $10,000 bet just before the trade was announced.
The trade, yeah.
When the odds were higher.
They were 5-1 or 50-1.
It was something incredible.
I don't think it was that big. I think it was 5-1. So I mean, he's gonna make fifth.
But who's gonna play? It's just gonna be him and LeBron.
They're not gonna win because one of those two is gonna get hurt.
Well, yeah, or mad at the other one for taking too many shots.
Russ, like we talked about yesterday, it's like the days of Larry Fogle and
Bo Lamar.
There's not enough basketballs.
There was plenty for Bo. He had it in his hand. He shot it.
He didn't give it to Fogle.
Oh, no.
I was out of state at that point. But, I mean,
Fogle was a piece of work now. He was a great player.
A great athlete.
Yeah.
A great athlete.
But
and
a psycho.
Well, he was as one person who was kind of close to the basketball program. May have had something to do with recruiting. Said he was probably the worst human being he'd ever met.
Other than that, he's fine.
He was a little. I remember Ron Gomez telling me the story when they made the trip to New York, and this might have been the second leg after the accusation had fallen. And Shipley said, "I do owe an apology to Mickey Mouse."
Yeah, that
after
was hilarious.
The Mickey Mouse conference. They went down to Jacksonville, played a game, and got beat by 42 points on regional television. When, as Jerry Bisbano told me several years later, half the team thought the game was at night. It was like a 12 noon tip off. They were out on the beach having fun at 3 o'clock in the morning. Said balls were bouncing off people's heads. They were so out of it. So they turned around and went up to New York to play Cincinnati as part of a doubleheader. At Madison Square Garden.
And
Ron said they had got to the hotel and everybody got out of, I don't know if they took cabs or a bus or that sort of thing, but Fogle caught it, got out, looked at Gomez, snapped his fingers, said, "Get my bag right there." A star, right?
Well, maybe it was behind another bag, so maybe since Gomez was close.
No. No.
My Larry Fogle
story.
Get
my bag for me.
My Larry Fogle story, and I will use words that could be said on the air, is that he was apparently in the Dean of Student Personnel's office one day for stuff that he had been doing, and the Dean of Student Personnel looked at him and said, "Larry, you need to get your act together around here," with another word being used.
Yeah.
And Larry Fogle looked at him and said, "Coach, if I get my act together, you'll be out of a job." You know, it's just like, you know, you got a job following me and getting me out of trouble.
I got another story. I'm sorry, Bruce.
The year after he let the program blew up over here, he led the nation in scoring again.
Yeah, at Canisius.
Yeah.
And he signed with the New York Knicks. And there's some great stories about him at the Knicks, too. I think we need to go to break. Because Clint is playing the music a little bit louder as we speak. So Five Guys, Stories and Lies, 706-0111. We'll be back.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Popped up. No, it's gone. Home run. Yeah, nice call, pal.
About swung on and hit, swung on and grounded. Swung on and missed.
Okay.
You're literally loud.
Yeah. You know, our lead-in says about politically correct, incorrect. You want to talk about some stuff?
You got some political... Oh, wait, we haven't talked about... Let me mention this first. Jamie Howard will join us in about 10 minutes.
Huh?
All right.
15, yeah.
That's fine, that. Whatever.
It's 6:51. What time did you tell
about
him?
7:05.
7:05.
So what, doesn't hey, when so, we cut at 7, isn't that 5 minutes that you take up?
We've something got like a two-minute break and then a two-minute sports update, then it's back to y'all. Yeah,
so he'll join us in 14 minutes. Yeah. Sorry we were off 4 minutes. Yeah.
Whatever it is, we'll join him in the second hour.
We'll join. Aren't the Astros playing later tonight?
No, the Astros played earlier. That's why we're 2 hours.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they played earlier, lost 3-2.
Damn, they got beat 12-0 a day or so ago. Now they lost 3-2?
This is their fourth straight loss. Got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, who surprisingly have won 4 straight.
And now they've got to go to Yankee Stadium for 4.
Yeah, and Yankees have been looking really good, especially on the offensive side of the dish lately.
Yeah, they'll sweep the Yankees.
That's debatable. Yeah, think about
you've
it's got...
not only debatable, but there is fortune to be made on that comment. And you can make it right here, Tom.
I mean, isn't Judge supposed to be back soon, or is that Giancarlo?
Friday,
and then you probably get Giancarlo back before long?
Stanton's back. Stanton's been back okay. For 2 days.
All right.
And then Giancarlo, is that the chef for the locker room?
And then no, that's Mike Stanton and see how that goes.
Okay, Tom, we'll talk about it next week, pal. I guarantee you.
All right, Tom might be banished.
Just doing that because I know Don's a big Yankees fan.
It's just true.
He
did make us listen to it all the way back from Natchitoches, the game.
Oh, all right. If you're younger, you can say that's child cruelty, man. Yeah.
Jamie Howard coming up shortly. What do you have on the LHSAA? And the fact is that they have officially released nothing concerning
they
the appeals.
They punted.
What do you have unofficially?
Unofficially, according to some of the coaches, is that, like I said, they won. I think they looks like they won 2 appeals and they didn't win 2 appeals.
They.
LCA.
Lafayette Christian Academy was very much involved in these appeals on coaches being suspended for a year.
Because they were acting as head coaches without being on staff.
Being
right.
Certified.
You cannot do that right. In football and basketball.
So what's the result, Glenn? The unofficial result?
The unofficial result is that 2 of them are going to be cleared to coach and 2 of them are not. And the biggest one that's not is probably going to be Trev Falk. It's a word that the coaches are saying.
If that happens, I wonder what they're going to do for a head coach. Now, I know they had another head coach in name.
Yeah, but they did. But, I'm like you. I'd love to get somebody from LCA on to talk about it. But again, we were talking about it. I think I don't know if it was at lunch or here. If LCA has been let's say criticized for a lot of stuff that they do as far as recruiting and stuff. Everybody knows that. But what they went after,
I think it's fair to say they've been questioned on a lot of the things they do.
Right, and we if you're going to go after them, like I said on the show, go after them for something substantive. I thought The person that I talked to today said the same thing. What did you make the comparison to, Al Capone?
You made that comparison, yeah.
That look, you can't get them on these charges, so you go after something
entirely
different.
Yeah.
Lesser, just to get something on them. And I think that's what the LHSAA did. They went after low-hanging fruit just to get something, and they got them. But 2 of the 4 suspensions are going to be lifted, from what I'm told.
I'm a little confused. Errol Rodgers coaches both girls' basketball and boys' basketball, correct?
Correct.
And supposedly he is one of the ones whose suspension is lifted, but only one sport, right?
That's what it sounds like.
Again, I'm not totally sure on that. I just know it's going to be like 2-2 is what I was told. And
no idea on any of the other schools involved?
No, they it's really funny because I talked to Robin Fambro at the Advocate, and she said, Glenn, they telling us, hey, contact the schools. Well, no, you file the sanctions against these people. You should announce what your findings are. And they're not. They're telling them to reach out to the schools. So she texted me a while ago. Let me see what she said. The LHSAA will be getting an email from LSWA is gonna get involved and send them a letter, seeing that they need to make that public. It's not
Robin Fambro, for those of you curious, covers preps for the Baton Rouge Advocate.
Yeah, and I mean she's basically the number one prep writer right. in Louisiana, and so she stays on top of the LHSAA and stuff like that. But for them to not make that public, because they were supposed to do it 48 hours after the fact. 48 hours after the fact would have been last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so everybody's been sitting here waiting. The schools apparently know. But then, they're not going to get on the phone and call people and say, hey, guess what happened?
Yeah, we've been sanctioned.
Well, so. I'm not familiar with who all the rest of the football staff is, but yeah, I can tell either. You I'm not familiar with any names that are on it. So right. they probably have to go out and hire somebody.
That's just a guess. Yeah, that's just a guess we're making.
And if I guess, I'd guess that they probably had that in the pipeline and probably ready to roll.
All right, we've got the two-minute drill and some other things coming up. Jamie Howard, former LSU quarterback in the early to mid-90s and also a pitcher in the Atlanta Braves system, will join us a couple of minutes after that. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Phone number is 706-0111. We shall return.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB. Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome back to hour number two, everyone. With Tom Brown, Glenn Quibido, and Bruce Brown. Bobby Ardwin couldn't be with us tonight. Continuing to cover something at St. Landry Parish that I think started 2 weeks ago, and it continues through this evening. We are very fortunate to have a special guest by phone with us tonight, and that is the man who finished his career as the third leading passer in LSU history. I could give you a lot of other glamorous statistics, but he's probably tired of hearing about them. And we welcome in Jamie Howard. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Good, guys. How are you?
Are you tired of hearing about all your stats?
Oh, my stats? I didn't think I had any good ones. I thought I had like the most tackles by any quarterback in LSU history.
That's cool.
Well, no. You came to the right show.
Most missed tackles, let's say that.
Over 6,100 yards and second in career touchdown passes with 34. No, Jamie, you've got some great numbers. How are you? How have you been?
Good, man. Just chasing kids around and working.
Well, we're not going to bring up one particular kid yet. We wanted to talk to you. We wanted to talk to you for about 15 seconds, and then we'll get to Walker.
Okay.
No, it's going to be longer than that.
Not fine.
You were starting quarterback for LSU for the large portion of your 4 years in Baton Rouge, and right. you also threw for the Atlanta Braves and their farm system.
Yep.
Which do you miss the most?
I miss the locker room with the guys in football, for sure. We didn't have the best of times, but we, I guess because some of the bad things we went through, we all became close, and I just miss that whole scene, that part of football, being with the guys.
Jamie, this is Glenn Quibido, and I've been knowing you since you were a freshman, and I knew your dad went to school at Crowley High when I was at Crowley High, mm-hmm. which you're aware of. I was wondering a couple of things. Looking back at your career, what kind of advice would you give to a high school athlete? You made the tough decision of signing a pro contract and a college scholarship. What would you tell a kid today? Let's say that was Walker and he had those choices.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Not, to do both. I learned that the hard way. I mean, you can't, because basically what happened to me is, you know, I would get, as soon as the last spring final was done, I would have to report to West Palm Beach and get in baseball shape. And by the time I would, I'd pitch a couple months, and then by the time I got into baseball shape, I had to report and be there the day of fall camp. And so I usually pitched my best time by then, and then I really didn't get in football shape until about the fourth or fifth game. And so usually my best football, I was doing the best, was in the spring. It's just hard. You can't part-time either one of those sports at that level. That's what I felt like I was doing.
It sounds like you're painting a picture of make up your mind which sports you're going to do and concentrate on that.
Well, you know, especially at a young age, I don't like doing that. But at that age, I think you almost have to. Unless, I think if you're a quarterback and a pitcher, you can't do that. I think if you're playing cornerback, DB, and you're an outfielder, I think it's easier, much easier than two different throwing motions, two different, you know, football, especially, you got to be full-time in it. Baseball, if you're a pitcher, you got to be full-time in it.
Well, the times you suffered those shoulder injuries as a quarterback, how much of an effect did that have on your pitching?
I went from throwing like 93 to 87. My neck started hurting because all the balls kept flying by me.
You were getting whiplash?
Yeah, man. My neck was killing me.
So
it's amazing. You know, I would sometimes hit 90 again, but my arm angle changed, and it just – and then once your arm angle changes to baseball and you lose the movement, it doesn't matter how you throw. I mean, it just wasn't the same.
If you had
the Braves released me, yeah.
If you had to do it all over again, which one would you pick?
I think I would definitely do football, because I wanted to pitch at LSU. I could have been a closer at LSU for sure, and I really wanted to do that. Yeah, so I think I could have pulled that off, because that's something you know, I could have done in the springtime and then get back in shape in the summer for football. You know, I mean, it could have worked out better that way. That was the plan.
I don't know if
I wanted the pitcher skip.
I don't know if you heard the news or not, but the Yankees released Danny Farquhar today. And I presume you're familiar with Farquhar and his story.
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did release him today. What a difficult – can you even fathom what the guy went through to try to get back from it after a brain aneurysm?
No, I can't imagine, man. I feel for him. But, you know, he sounds like an incredible guy and a tough guy, so – I mean, he sounds like the type of guy who's going to benefit from going through that adversity and be successful, whatever he's going to do after baseball.
Do you ever keep in touch with any of your former Tiger teammates?
I do. I talk to a lot of them. Yeah, I mean, that's where you make your best friendships, that's for sure, is those guys you play in the dirt and sweat and blood together. So, yeah, man, I talk to Ben Bornall, David LaFleur, Brett Besch, Shedrick Wilson, Eddie Kennison, Tom McClure. I talked to a lot of those guys.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, we had Jake DeLome on here.
Hey, I'll jump on and tell you this. They included me on the O-lineman group text because I've gained enough weight, they said. So I do stay in contact. Most of the time, I'm usually the butt of the jokes on the group text, but...
Well,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is, when we had Jake on here, Jake had some stories for us that he didn't normally tell. And one was about when they were in the Super Bowl, where they dressed out one of the extras, and the guy told him, you know, just throw the ball deep so I can dive and get grass stains, so I'll have that forever. And that's one of those stories you never hear. You have any like that from the LSU locker room or from playing with the Braves, where, you know, something funny like that that always stuck with you with one of your teammates or something?
Yeah, Glenn Hubbard was one of my coaches. I don't remember that name from the Braves, but he was a second baseman. He was one of our position coaches in the minor leagues, and he told me to tape cotton balls soaked in rubbing alcohol to the bottom of one of our guys' chairs in the locker room. And while he's sitting on it, you know, get somebody to distract him and light his chair on fire. And I did. And it was funny at the time until the sprinklers went off. And then
end of meeting.
So, Yeah, there's a lot of stories we can't talk about on the radio.
That's yeah. That's the kind of thing you'd see in a movie and you figure, no, that's made up. That could never have happened.
No. Bull Durham is a very real life.
Are you serious? That
yeah,
is?
Minor league baseball is just like that. I mean, it's the buses. It's everything. It's all the same.
They have the groupies?
No, most of them, if they didn't look like the one. If they had any. I'm not saying they had any. I'm just saying if they did, it didn't look like that. I'll stop there.
Just stop right there, huh?
Do you have any minor league memories that are just priceless to you?
Yeah. John Rocker walking his first 8 batters and then going back to the room and trying to throw his – going back and trying to throw his television out of the window in the hotel room.
And he missed?
That was a,
did
that
he
was
miss?
A memory. He couldn't fit. He couldn't fit out. And then, yeah, I mean, I got so many memories from both, you know.
Well, go ahead. We got time.
No, man. I'm good. No, we don't want to get into all those.
Okay, your time's up. Tell us about Walker.
Oh, he's young. He's a good kid. I'm very proud of him as a kid. He truly is. And I know it's a dad bragging on him, but he's a lot like his mom. He always happy. He'll go up to anybody in a room, meet him. Just very personable kid. And he's getting to be he's getting to develop and become a little better in football. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If he continues to develop, he's got a shot to be pretty good.
Now, he's going to be a sophomore this year at St. Thomas More,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. That's right. That's correct.
He has attended camps in the past, correct?
This summer.
I'm sorry.
He's attending camps this summer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been all over the place. We went to UL, who we cannot say enough good things about, by the way, the coaching staff there. I mean, Walker adores those guys. We've been to Texas UT. That wasn't really a camp. That was more of a quarterback academy. So they had like 60 quarterbacks, and it was a lot of training. It was tough, but it was good for him.
Yeah.
And then we went to Alabama, and then we went to Texas A&M, and then Mississippi State, and then we went to Notre Dame, which was really cool. Never been up there.
Wow.
And then we went to Tulane today. And then we'll go to LSU tomorrow.
Things have really changed since you were a high school senior, haven't they?
It's crazy. But, you know, what you have to watch for as a dad, if you feel like they're not having fun, you got to shut it down. And the good thing about him, which is bad for me because I got to drive him everywhere, he loves it. So he just likes to compete, likes to meet new people. And so it's all good for him, you know.
How many offers does he have right now?
UL, Alabama, A&M, Mississippi State, and Tulane today, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine everywhere he goes they're going to offer him, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, it's you know, the way that game works, guys, is it's strange. It's out-of-state schools, they'll offer – kids that are in their top 4 on their board, okay? Let's just say that. So what they do is when they're that young, they offer them, say, look, you're in the top 4. Some of them explain it well and some of them don't. So what it means is it's a non-committable offer.
Yeah. No,
they don't really explain it. Yeah, it's a big deal. And they'll say, look, you're in the top 4. And I think Saban explained it the best. And he said, we're very interested in you. We're going to keep an eye on you. And if you continue to develop at the rate you are, then, yeah, we're going to try to come get you. But we're going to offer you. And he goes, but that doesn't mean you can commit. So, of course, I asked the question, like, well, what – I mean, I'm new to all this. Do you post this? And he goes, well, the other 3 guys are, I would. Okay, we'll do it. Right. So it's a game. It's a game, but also it's a business. And as a dad, you try to, you know – you have to protect them and also kind of guide them through the process. The good thing, and I'm not just bragging because he's my son, but the good thing, if he would have gotten the offer or not gotten the offer, he acts the same. It doesn't affect him.
I could tell he was a good kid when I went to the Sunkist shootout and Walker was sweeping the floor.
for Danny Broussard. I mean, he just like a normal kid sweeping the floor and stuff. Because I've seen kids, and you know it, I've seen kids that, I'm not going to do that.
Well, he is a normal kid. He just throws the football really well.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, and look, I'm telling you, he's just a positive kid like his mom. So, I mean, that's where I'm very fortunate to have that,
Yeah, Jamie, this is Tom Brown. How you doing?
Good, man.
I think you pretty much more or less answered most of what I was going to ask you. But, I'm going to hear music.
Yeah, go ahead and get your question.
Well, I'll come back after the commercial.
Jamie, let us take a quick break.
Okay, no problem.
We've got more questions. We'll be back. Jamie Howard, former LSU quarterback and pitcher for the Atlanta Braves and their system, is with us tonight on Five Guys Stories and Lies, which can...
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Five Guys Stories and Lies on this Wednesday evening with four guys. Bobby Hardwise not with us tonight. He'll be back with us next week. We are fortunate enough to have former LSU quarterback Jamie Howard with us in this segment. Jamie, the proud papa of a young man and three lovely daughters. And I think Tom had the question before we...
I was starting to get into the idea, and I think you answered a lot of it in the summer camp type thing, was that I have three daughters also, and, I'm the softball nut here of this group because I've lived it and breathed it. And in softball, you don't ever see a coach at a high school game. It's always summer ball where they're recruiting. And it looks like football has more or less transitioned into summer camps being where they're really going to see your kids and what they're made of. You didn't have to do any of that when you were in high school, did you?
Actually, I went to Alabama camp and I went to LSU camp. In fact, Jake was at one of the LSU camps with me, and I remember saying, "God, that kid's good." I remember saying that. Nothing like this. So, and let me tell you why this is happening, in my opinion, because you have, depending on where a kid goes to school, they can put up huge numbers. All right. STM's got an incredible offense, incredible system that Shane's put together. And, they blow the numbers up, and a kid, a great example of where stats don't matter is like TJ Finley at Ponchatoula. I mean, they don't run the best offense for him, but LSU offered him based on his skill set, his potential, right? So it's hard. And I guess back in a long time ago, in olden days like me, they would offer based on stats a lot of times just going to see the kid play. But these camps, what they do is you put each kid next to another kid and you can see truly who can throw the deep comeback or how good they move. And you can time the 40 right there. You're not taking a high school coach's opinion on a 40. I mean, they're getting their real opinion right there, and that's probably, they need it. They need to do that because, like I said, I mean, you can get fooled by a lot of the numbers in high school, depending on where you play.
Right.
If that makes sense. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Now, I had a volleyball player, too, so you better mention those daughters of yours. You better get them in this conversation.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get past that, yeah.
You better
tell
us about
it. My oldest daughter is a junior at LSU, and she's studying business. And then Meredith, my 18-year-old, is at LSU grinding out volleyball right now. Going to be a freshman.
Really?
And then my youngest, who I tell everyone is my favorite, which they hate me saying that, but she's going to be a seventh grader, and she's my strongest personality.
What's her name?
Hillary.
Hillary. Okay, we'll remember that. Yeah. She's going to be a volleyball player as well.
That's what she tells me. She played six sports last year, so we don't know yet.
Oh, geez.
She's going to LSU, right?
Yeah. Who, Hillary? I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I'm not answering those questions anymore.
Okay, answer this.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Answer this one for me.
Yeah.
We talked about Walker. He's going to be a sophomore at STM.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be backing up Caleb Holstein, who had
I'd like to talk about that.
Marvelous numbers last year.
Yes.
How much do you think Walker can learn behind Holstein, and how much of an opportunity is he going to get to play?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much, if any, he's going to get to play, but I will tell you the best thing for Walker is to be around a kid like that. I mean, he's he's a great quarterback, but he's probably a better person than a quarterback. And I just like him being around him. So I'm not worried about that. All that will work itself out. But it's truly a benefit. I mean, a lot of parents will probably think different. Oh, I want my kid on the field. It's truly a benefit for Walker to be around him. So I'm thankful for that.
Are they gonna take the chance and play Walker in JV games?
I swear to you, I don't discuss it with the coaches, so I don't know. I really don't.
I wouldn't, but I mean that's me because he should get a lot of opportunity. The way they roll up points, Jamie, he's gonna get opportunities.
Maybe, but here's the thing too. I think our schedule is a little tougher this year, you know, and so we'll see how it all works out. You know, I mean, last year it fell funny last year. We had a really, really, really good team, you know, and you know, you never know what you get each year. We got a lot of kids coming back, but you got a lot of people to replace too, like William Cryer. I mean, that's a big. You got Frederick coming back, but William Cryer was one of the best ever to play this team, in my opinion, running back.
Wow. Bruce, yes.
Yeah, Jamie, Bruce Brown. A few years ago, we elected Jim Hightower into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of remembrances do you have of him as a coach, and what kind of things did you learn from him that you see every day still out there?
Well, two things I remember. One, that he was the worst signal giver I've ever seen. And so Shane, thank God, doesn't let him give the signals. And I still joke with him about that. But no, one thing that I've learned from Jim over the years, you don't notice it while you're there until you see it now and you got a kid going through it. He's just a great man. He is a fantastic person. And on top of that, he allows his coaches to be good. You know, he allows the defensive guys, the offensive guys. He develops coaches by just allowing them to be themselves. Now, he always guides them, but he doesn't he's not a dictator, you know. He lets good people be good at what they do. And that's something I'm sure we all have learned through the years that helps in everything you do.
Absolutely. I don't mean this to be an indelicate question, but can you ever envision yourself as being the type of dad who cares so much about his son's success that you end up pushing him in one direction or another where college is concerned?
I think what I'm going to do, and believe me, I have my counselor, Jake DeLome, always on speed dial for me, checking myself, you know. And I'm always checking myself through him, and he helps me, and he tells me like it is if I'm going too far with it or not. The number one thing you try to do is you just try to put him in the right position where outside of football, where is he going to be best off? That's what's important to me because
–
he could go, if he's good enough to go play college football, if he is and he goes, I mean, he could play one play and be done. So where is he going to be the happiest? And where is he going to be able to benefit the best long-term after football? That's where I look at it. And I'm trying to help him understand that also.
Was he starstruck when he went to Alabama and meeting with Saban?
No, man, I'll tell you, that's one thing. He doesn't get starstruck. I mean, he's... He told Coach Saban that he could beat him in golf. I mean, that's how it works.
He's probably really? Right.
And Walker doesn't play golf. That's what it works.
Yeah.
I told Coach Saban, I said, man, if you saw a swing, you would not recruit him. I'm telling you, he's terrible.
That's funny. Wow. That's too funny. Hey, listen, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about your dad, Jimmy. Jimmy was was a big influence in your upbringing and stuff. And I don't know if you remember this, but y'all were playing a playoff game at St. Thomas More, and I was covering it for the Advocate, and Jimmy was running late getting to the game, and he got there, and I was in the press box, and he looked out there, and y'all might have been in extra innings, and he looked out there, and you were still on the mound, and he came up to the press box, and he looked at me, and he said, "How many pitches has he thrown?" And I said something like 125. And Jimmy made a beeline to that dugout, and you out the game, like in the next couple of seconds. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, why are you saying it like that?
Well, no, I mean, that's just He's funny. He hasn't changed a lick.
I mean, well, he was protecting you, man.
There's no doubt. My dad's the best. I mean, as a dad, he was so protective and so good and so smart with things that he was way beyond what people do now. He was doing then, you know, as far as protecting things. I mean, he was so far advanced.
Well, I'd have gone get you too if I'd have been him.
He's having fun with Walker. He basically thinks he should take him to the camps and not me. He thinks he can handle it better than me.
Jamie, are we keeping you from anything?
No, we're not. We're good.
Well, good. We're going to take another break. Then we're going to come back for a couple more minutes. We really appreciate you hanging on with us. Jamie Howard's our guest here tonight on Five Guys Stories and Lies, and we'll be back.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Gotta get myself off the side of the road. Gotta quit lying to myself and let the truth be told.
Don Allen, Tom Brown, Glenn Cribbito, and Bruce Brown with Jamie Howard tonight. Jamie, what is your best memory as a Tiger?
Oh, beating Auburn my senior year. Manoa ranked, I think, fourth in the nation at home under Coach DiNardo, who, by the way, is a fantastic. I mean, he's been great, by the way. I've gotten back in touch with him through this process, and he's been a great advisor through this whole recruiting thing with Walker.
Yeah.
But,
what's your worst memory as a Tiger?
Do I really need to say that?
flying
back with my teammates from that bad Auburn game, I just felt like I'd let them down and just being miserable in the flight back.
Well, a lot of people didn't blame you on that. They blamed the OC for that one.
Look, man, I threw them, so I'll take responsibility. I mean, as a quarterback, you take the blame. You take too much credit, too. So that's part of it.
Hey, you threw some interceptions. It wasn't the end of the world.
No, not at all.
Well, it felt like it then.
Well, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it probably did.
You were just padding your quarterback tackle stat, that's all.
No, missed tackle.
Missed tackle. Get that straight, he said. Get it straight.
If I'd have made the tackles, we might have won.
Well, you got it back as a senior, so that had to that had to feel good.
Everybody has bad games.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, you know, the athleticism in your family, it goes back a ways, huh? Wasn't your grandfather a standout player at Mississippi State, if I remember right?
Yeah, he was a quarterback there and a punter. And then my great uncles all were, I think, all Americans there at Mississippi State. Now, one of them that just passed away, he's been telling me for years that he won the Heisman Trophy, but I don't think he was telling the truth.
Well, wait a minute. What happened to Jimmy?
Well, I was getting there. No, my dad, it's funny about him. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but if you give him a football, he can still sling it. It's funny. And he'll still tell you he can beat you in a 40. He tells Walker that all the time, that he can still beat him in a 40.
Wait a minute. He's 60. What is he, 65 years old?
Yeah.
And he's telling Walker he can beat him in a 40?
Yeah, he's 65, but he thinks he's 25. And that's all that counts.
Oh, yeah. He still feels that way. No question.
Well, I knew your grandfather was special. I didn't realize you had uncles that were all Americans as well.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a heck of a gene pool.
Really is. Yeah, so I was the bad guy for going to LSU instead of Mississippi State. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you weren't a bad guy for going to LSU for hundreds and thousands of fans in this state. And before you go, let me ask you one more question. What are the Tigers going to do this year?
Man, I think they're going to be really good. I hope if you look at what Ogeron's doing from a recruiting standpoint, you just hope that because they're an injury or two away from having not a great year this year, but they could have a fantastic year. And you know how it is in the SEC. I mean, anything can happen. But the way he's building the program right now, I think it's going in the right direction. I hope he continues to have a great season. But, you know, what happens a lot of times, LSU expectations get a little out of reach.
Yeah.
He's got his quarterback that is this unreal leader. Not the most physically talented thrower, but, man, he's a ball gamer, and he's just tough. And he's a leader. And so they got that now. if he stays healthy, I think they got a real shot at making a run. I mean, a real shot.
Jamie, thank you.
But they're still not they're still not deep on some like D line, not as deep as they should be yet.
Yeah.
But they're gonna get there.
Yeah. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Jamie, this has been as much fun as I've had on this show. This is Tom, and I've never really personally met you. I just hope I get a chance one day.
Okay, well, I'm losing my hair, and I'm fat. So it's not that
well, we're all old and fat.
So I can say that I was better than Jake Norum. I can tell him that.
Yeah, you get, you know, hey, wait, before you hang up, you know what you remind me of saying that? We had the Hall of Fame a couple years ago, and Nathan Granger, do you know him? Nathan is a great guy. Nathan comes up to me after the ceremony, and he has some of his buddies with him. And I was telling him about this the other day. I saw him at the ballpark. I said, "You remember what you said, Nathan?" Nathan brought his buddies up to me, and Jake had just got inducted. And he said, Mr. Glenn, you were covering me in high school. Tell my buddies I was just as good as Jake DeLone, wasn't I? I said, you know, you really were. He was a heck of a quarterback. I said, but you know what? I said, Nathan, you went to Erath, and he went to Turlings. So they saw him at Turlings. They didn't see Nathan Granger. So that's what it reminded me of. Can I tell Jake? Yeah, Nathan was kind of like that.
Jamie, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks,
guys. Hope to get you again. Thank you.
Former LSU quarterback Jamie Howard, it was fun.
It was. That was a lot of fun. I mean, he just started it right out the back, you know, with, like, having the most missed tackles by a quarterback. It's like,
let me tell you,
great sense of humor, you know, stories.
Yeah, if y'all haven't met him, you owe it to yourself to, hey, go to a St. Thomas More basketball game or football game. You'll see him there. You know, and he's just a great guy from a great family. And, he was a great interview tonight. And, Jamie, if you're listening, thank you. Back to you, Don.
What happened to your boy Danny Broussard, who was going to call?
You know what? That's amazing that he did.
He's
you know?
Crawfishing.
Well,
man.
No, he's
that's
Hollywood.
That's right. He is a crawfish.
He's Hollywood now. That's what I told him. I mean, he went from Mo to Hollywood. You know, he grew up playing for Mo High School.
So you're telling me the ego has taken over?
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh no, he's always
had an ego. Danny's really a shy guy. Anybody know?
that's what I always think of. First thing I think of, yeah.
So something must have come up because he was going to call and tell us about his Hollywood stint here with ESPN. He'll be on tomorrow night, by the way. If you're going to watch the NBA draft, they have a special about why Zion should love Louisiana, and Danny Broussard of all people is in the lead-in to the segment. So it'd be fun to watch.
You know, he's like 12 wins or so from 1,000 in his career.
I think it's 12.
You know, I think he'll get 12. It next year, obviously. But
and
that's incredible, man.
Yeah, like Raymond pointed out at our lunch yesterday, Danny will be eligible for entry into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame because he just turned 60, which is a requirement.
Yeah.
And God knows he has the credentials to get in there. So he'll be walking on that stage one day. I don't know when, but he'll be walking on it in not too long.
If you were interested, which you're probably not interested in, probably hadn't thought about it. I didn't until I asked. The spring ratings book for radio ends tonight. Ends today. It's the last day. It's the last show in the book.
Really?
Yes.
I never saw the book.
Well, we're not going to see the book until July, August.
No. I never saw a book. Well, in my life, I've never seen.
I haven't
one of those
either.
Things.
I haven't either.
I have no idea.
Tom said he's had a couple.
I've had a Nielsen book show up at my house. It's interesting, you know. And you get a dollar for doing it, you know.
So, you get a dollar.
They send you a dollar with the book, yeah, you know. But it's
they'll get two Cokes out of my Coke machine.
Yeah, it's just you know you're supposed to sit down and write every night what you're watching in a certain time slot.
Tom, of course, wrote the entire week out ahead of time.
Yeah,
right?
He wrote and in it
I knew what I was going to watch, right. And so I just wrote it out ahead.
Well,
of time.
Well, he put Yellowstone,
because
the premiere is tonight of the second season. On Paramount at 9 o'clock and again at 10.
Yeah, so
and
we got to be home by 10 now.
Yeah, we can miss the 9 because they're going to reshow it at 10.
Yeah.
So we're giving a plug to Yellowstone.
Anyway, the book ends tonight.
I said it's not a traditional sports show, so we'll hit every topic. And there's Don. What you looking at? The board? Look, he got Danny Broussard on. He had him this morning. Oh, that's where he was.
Three had him this morning.
Yeah, three. Or.
I call him three.
Well, he calls him Or. You call him three. I call him Raymond. So he even had my buddy Sheldon Mickles on there.
Oh, they have Mitchell Mickles on for, I wonder.
Probably talking about Sheldon covers a lot of things for them. He covered the Saints. He was a Saints beat writer for probably 30 years.
Track?
Track. He just got finished with track, so he may have been talking about track. He may have been talking about football because he helps with football as well, you know. So he's probably the longest tenured writer left at the Advocate.
Sheldon?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you what, he took over probably in around 80. Between 80 and 85, he took over there. Well, it's whenever the state item, that's what it was?
Yeah.
State Times. They were the State Times. State's item was in
State's Picayune. Item was New Orleans.
Picayune, yeah.
That was the evening edition of the Picayune.
When they merged the papers, and then and Sheldon, he got the Saint beat and been on it until 2 or 3 years ago, and then they brought him back to Baton Rouge. So Sheldon could talk about a number of different things. Plus, he's one of the leaders in Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and if I had to guess, that might be what they were talking about this morning, was the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Who's getting inducted next year?
Man, I hadn't even looked at the ballot.
You got Peanuts eligible.
Charles Tillman's eligible.
Does he have a shot?
Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, he's got a shot.
Patrick Surtain is eligible. Two cornerbacks. I mean, Tillman is NFL Man of the Year 1 year. And it has a great, great career as far as statistics and numbers and leadership in that program. That's the two that popped out at me, and I was looking over the list the other day. Two cornerbacks who both eventually probably need to get in there.
What does it take to become eligible? How long do you have to be out of your chosen profession?
It depends on if you're a coach or a lifetime athlete. Like golf is a lifetime athlete. Glenn can probably...
I think it's three years you have to be out for a coach unless you're 60. If you're 60, you're eligible immediately. Like Danny Broussard will be eligible immediately. I think it's 5 years for an athlete and three for a coach, something like that.
Yeah.
You have to be born in Louisiana? Is that the way that works?
No.
You could just pass through and play one
Archie
season.
Manning.
Yeah.
He's in our Hall of Fame, and
we got a lot of guys.
Mississippi
in there
born and bred, and
you have to be associated with Louisiana athletics in some sort of way.
Well, look, that meeting, like we said, it gets contentious at times. We have what, like 300 something nominees in there, and
how big is the committee that makes this choice?
35, but we're looking at changing that to there will be a final committee of 35 to go over the final 8. I think is what it is. But what we're talking about doing, and I hope we do, and I hope we do it next year, is that we'll send out a ballot to every member. See, you get something for your membership. That's a whole other story. But anyway, we'll send out a ballot.
You have your membership card yet, Tom?
No.
Okay, I'll just check.
But those meetings he's talking about, they're top secret. They're big top secret because I remember walking into a restaurant in Natchitoches and we're like, y'all have to get out of here. This is a meeting.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, they're top secret.
Didn't I warn y'all about that? This is a private meeting.
Didn't
I warn y'all about that? You know what? Watch y'all behave like
friends, man.
Watch you react like an adult.
We didn't even know
where we were. Just be an adult.
We didn't even know where we were. That's all I'm asking. And you're like, this is a private meeting. I mean, you flew out of your chair and ran to the hallway.
I got Ahmed Walter all over me, all right? Help me, Bruce.
I can't take you guys anywhere.
Ahmed, no, you can't take him anywhere for sure. I'm not going to run.
Clint, turn that music up and drown them out. Thank you.
Goodness gracious alive.
Final break of the night, I think. Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. We'll be back.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys, Stories, and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We've got about 10 minutes of the program left. Let me recap what we've gone over through the first 2 hours. Our thanks to Jamie Howard, former Tiger quarterback, for joining us for about 45 minutes or so. Danny Farquhar released by the Yankees. Let's see what else. The brawl among coaches and fans at the 7-year-old game, hosted by an umpire. That took place in, I think, Colorado. And what else did we cover? Oh, yes, Tom and Glenn like puppet shows. All right.
Ahmed blew up the last session before we ended.
It was something I wanted to bring up, and I've forgotten what it was. That happens a lot at my age. You said I know what it was.
Oh, well, William wanted to, William Weathers. Hey, thanks for listening, William. William Weathers text me.
Tell everybody who William is.
William Weathers is the sports editor at the Livingston Parish News. Used to cover LSU women's sports for the Morning Advocate. Before that, he worked for the Lafayette Advertiser.
And hires people over here, including a couple in this room,
three of us have already worked for him. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I worked for him under false pretenses, but that's okay.
False pretense.
He pays this much. And I got the check, and it was like, well, less than that. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's
wasn't
because
well
I,
less than that.
Yes, it was.
You told me it was $10 less.
$20.
Oh, $20. Okay.
It's not good, but it's only a $30.
Well, I shouldn't.
William.
No, well, I guess it's different with everybody.
But, no, I think what William expected.
Don't cut me, William, because of what this guy's saying. I mean, this is Walter talking.
I think what William wanted was a little bit more of a traditional baseball coverage, which means this batter singled to right and then was moved to second on a ground ball to third, and I just didn't want to put that. William, that's boring.
Well, yeah, but he didn't want poetry either.
Well, he got poetry.
So,
and let me tell you.
Anyway, the merger was in 1991.
Poetry runs for not that much.
William was also an award winner at the LSU.
Yes, he was.
A big award winner, Prep Writer of the Year, man.
And he used to have much darker hair.
Probably much more hair, too, if he's like us.
Much darker. That's why I didn't recognize him at first. Yeah. Tom's right.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for the dark hair.
He's going a little salt and pepper.
William's one of the good guys. William started around here when me and Bruce were still fairly, we still had hair when he started.
I had some.
And
he covered softball, speaking of softball.
Yeah, for the Advertiser.
He was covering for the Advertiser when they went to the regional in Michigan, like 93 or something.
Yeah,
like
when they won it.
He won it and went to the World Series first time.
And y'all actually paid for him to go?
I don't recall that.
One of the boosters had to put it for him.
We actually,
William, you can call and tell us.
That was the first time we did it on radio, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Oklahoma City. And I remember that first game. I remember several things about that, against Cal State Northridge. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
They had a reputation because going yard was a way of life with them. And when they headed out, they showed up the other team as much as possible. As much as possible.
Like the U.S. soccer team, women's soccer
team. No, the U.S. soccer team didn't show anybody up. All they did was celebrate their goals.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, get better. This is the World Cup.
Do you understand soccer?
No, Glenn does not understand soccer.
The tiebreaker is point differential.
Select baseball.
Oh, come on, Glenn. You thought you didn't know Kitty was a hooker. Let's just move on.
Am I going to hear that for the rest of my life?
Yep.
Let's just move on here.
Let me say that's about all I understand about soccer.
Fine, upstanding lady, man. Y'all stop talking about Miss Kitty.
Where was I?
Clint.
We were in Northridge showing up people.
Northridge. Northridge had a young lady named Beth Calcanti. Do you remember the name, Bruce?
Yeah.
Big time hitter.
Well, y'all got some hellacious memories if y'all remember.
I can only remember. I only remember that certain things, and I remember in the first inning, somebody hit a foul ball pop up down the first baseline, and the Cajuns' first baseman. I can't even remember her name. Played baseball at Crowley.
Habits.
Allison Habits. Made a running back to the plate catch, lined out for it. It's one of the best catches you will ever see anybody make. And that right there, I think, to me, let everybody know that
we're here.
The Cajuns were here.
Yeah.
They ended up winning the first game. They lost to Arizona. Came back and beat Arizona in a game, and then lost to UCLA in the semifinals.
You remember what I said a while ago? Did the Advertiser pay for William to go? William writes me back.
No.
He says, Alfred Lampson deserves some credit for the advertiser's trip to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Alfred Lampson had a lot to do with a lot of stuff.
This is true.
With Lady Cajun
especially
softball.
Yes.
Oh, man, he loves softball.
That's why you're playing at Lampson Park.
That's exactly right.
He's a
right.
very big wow. fan. He was at every game, man.
Yeah.
He and his
yeah.
wife. You know.
Well, he was ahead of his time, obviously, yeah. because now everybody's in love with the game. So, yeah.
We're just more realistic, you know.
Alf had a booth right next to us at Cajun Field as well. And basketball, I'm sure he had something going on there.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah,
he's a great supporter.
Alf and the Lamsons were everywhere. Great, great supporters
yeah.
of that university.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, talking about important people, I don't know if you remember this. I think you do. When USL went play Houston in Houston, and
we're talking baseball, basketball?
No, this is football. But this is something that happened with a booster.
Okay.
A big booster.
Okay.
Don't you remember in the press box where Herbert Hyman went to get a hot dog and a guy went and take it away from him? Herbert Hyman? I mean,
He's not big in Houston.
Yeah, apparently not. It's like
he's real big here, but he wasn't big in Houston.
He wasn't over there.
Not that day.
The guy went questioning him about the hot dog, and I went, holy mackerel, you know who you're talking to?
But he didn't.
In Texas, it was nobody. I mean, over here, if that happened, whew.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen over here.
Yeah,
I loved Herbert.
Hey, that was a good man.
Oh, he could be in a suit and no socks.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know why you wear no socks in a situation like that?
Why?
Either because you can't afford them or because you can.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was
Herbert,
thinking.
He wore no socks because
he
could.
He can. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Danny Broussard said he hadn't called because the line was busy, Clint. Is busy. Is it?
Clint's talking.
I think
to
we might have some technical difficulties there.
Clint's talking to his bookie on the other line.
Yeah, we're trying to get some things set up before the season starts.
Oh well, thank you for you just.
Yeah, we only got like a minute left.
You
so.
Mean nobody could call because of technical difficulties?
No,
because
he was working
and
on something
and that
else.
Last, no, not no.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's where we stand.
I can do this over the line.
Speak so slowly, Clint.
I can do this over my line. Like I said, We're having technical difficulties, and we only had a few minutes left in the show. Like I said, I'm seeing somebody on the line now. We can't necessarily have him on.
He's working
about
ahead.
To wrap up.
All He's right. working ahead, so he don't have to come to
so
work.
So, Danny,
tomorrow.
we'll get a post commercial interview with you next week.
We owe
week,
you
week.
One.
Yeah, next week, give us a call, and we promise Clint will have the lines open.
Another 2 hours of fun with four guys tonight.
I think
and
we,
Clint.
I think we have an hour. I think we have an hour next week.
Oh, an hour?
But anyway, I think. I'm just thinking.
Well, we'll have to get two into one.
For Tom Brown, Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido, and our wizard behind the curtain, Clint Domingue.
What? Oh, he's going to say something.
No, yeah, it's only going to be an hour next week. Astros are playing the Pirates, 7:10 first pitch.
We got to get rid of these Astros guys. Who are they?
They are the 2016 World Series champs.
Well, after they sweep the Yankees this weekend, I guess we'll go ahead and give it to them the show at 7:10.
Oh, Yellowstone.
Bobby will be back next week. Tom won't be with us. I'm Don Allen. See you later.
Good night.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. 103.7 The Game. Adult.